Thanks, Ben. We appreciate this opportunity to share some of the progress made by Bangladesh based on Millennium Development Goal. Before I start, I'd like to say that the first author of this paper is Dr. Niloufer, who has been working in Bangladesh since long, and I had an opportunity working with her as well before. I don't have any relationship with any parties, any financial relationship in conducting this research. Let me give you some basic idea in short about Bangladesh. You say, land size-wise, it's a very small country, like many people call it, like Wisconsin or New York, but it has half of U.S. population. So literacy is improving, and also life expectancy is improving in terms of many other development indicators. It's very promising about that country. And what we have done, sharing some kind of a key factors about the country. The under-5 mortality is 53% per 1,000 live birth. Infant mortality is 43, and also neonatality is 32, and maternal mortality is 194. If you consider these factors, you may know that nowadays the per capita or GDP is not a big effective parameter of a development indicator. Rather than the infant mortality rate, these are more powerful indicator, particularly when the United Nations turn from the consumption theory-based standard. By methods, what we did is we reviewed several national level representative studies done by government, UNICEF, and Helen Keller International, one of the NGOs who is working since long for the improvement, also definitely demand some credit for many of the progress. We use the Bangladesh Demographic and Health Survey, National Nutritional Survey, and also National Micronutrient Survey to get our data and conclude the findings. As many data sets are collected, over 6,000 children under the BDHS 2011, and also 15,000 households by the Helen Keller and the combined study, among 15,000 primary sample in it by another study, including UNICEF, was involved. So it's a big data set to conclude and other things. Based on all those, what we try to understand that assess how women can be empowered to reduce community malnutrition and examine community intervention to increase healthcare access among the poor. And finally, demonstrate joint government and non-government effort. You may know that Bangladesh is one of the model countries where the NGOs, the non-governmental organization, has been contributing significantly for the development of the country in almost in every sectors, health, education, or whatever you say. What we notice, like, only 52% women are within normal BMI range. Say, for example, my height is 155, my BMI should be within 24. If it's, so that's the way. Chronic malnutrition is 24% women, which should be the 18.5. I'll be showing you some chart in the next slides. 13% women are below 145 centimeters height. And the mean height of Bangladeshi women is 151, but which is the critical, above the critical height of 145 centimeters. So in this next, what we are seeing that who are less than 145 centimeters. These are the way we are seeing, say, for example, the Bangladesh Demographic and Health Survey 2011, it says it's 13%. While we see the BMI level, it is in 2011 is 24%, which was before 34%. So that's the way we are understanding what are the factors that is contributing such progress or all those factors. Nutritional status are strongly associated with the woman's place of residence and also education, household wealth, many, including many other factors. 37% of the rural women are considered thin and compared with 25% of their urban counterparts. Over 50% of the adolescent girls are stunted, and more than one-third of the adolescent girls in rural areas are wasted. So that is a, and 43% of the Sri Lankans suffer from iron deficiency. So that is the part. I know Bangladesh has been making very good progress in food production particularly, but consuming food and consuming balanced and nutritious food is different. We all know that. That's the part. Any country can have a momentum in production of food, but whenever you put a scale of nutritional balanced food, many countries will be lagging behind. Maternal education improvement with increasing socioeconomic status, that is a well-known thought, many theoreticians also that. This is 66% mothers in female-headed household, and also 56 male-headed household had at least 1 year of schooling. Very interesting news about Bangladesh is education is getting almost in every door of the country. And another one is to be proud, is like it is more girls are going to school rather than the boys. And there is a saying, what all of the professor in Ghana told, that if you give me an educated mom, I'll give you an educated family. If you get educated man, I'll give you one single better person. So that is the philosophy being practiced right in Bangladesh. So, and it is producing good results. If you talk about postpartum vitamin A doses overall, 15% received a postpartum vitamin A dose. This varies also by the residence, division, and also educational attainment. Women in urban areas, 21% are more likely to receive vitamin A supplements in compared to the rural, which is 13%. Now, vitamin A supplement is also strongly associated with wealth. For example, 9% mothers receive vitamin A supplement among poor households, while it is 26% in the wealthiest households. So that's a strong correlation in there. Women with no education, 10% of with an incomplete primary education. Of them, 12% is less likely to receive a vitamin A dose. With some secondary education, 18% of women reported receiving a postpartum vitamin A doses. So education is playing a role in here. If we make a kind of a sort of biopsy and understand what is happening, what factors are contributing in there, iron deficiency. The prevalence of anemia in the one study, particularly 26, that study counted over 8,000 population, study population, 26%. Zinc deficiency, 57%, and iodide is 57% as well. And household, there are some areas to improve, but comparing the poverty level compared to the developing or country status, the country is making good progress. 3% of the women with a recent birth experience a night blindness with a normal deficiency, which definitely indicates the vitamin A deficiency. So that is another factor, as I stated before, that providing food or consuming food is not enough. We need to make a balance food, including nutrition component. Night blindness during pregnancy is more prevalent when age at birth 35 and over. Mothers are undereducated, sometimes uneducated. They have 4 or more births and live in very poorest households. So that those are the factors playing their role. 41% of the women under 5 children are studied. 17% severely studied, which is a symptom of chronic malnutrition. 16% children under 5 are wasted, and 1% severely wasted. So those are very critical statistics. We also see that very strong relationship with SE, socioeconomic status, the area of household, is it in urban or rural? The level of maternal education increases, child stunting decreases. So educating the future moms is a lot of benefits. Stunning increases after third water birth, they say. So if the mother is giving a spacing between kids, their health situation is better than who are not spacing enough time. So that is another statistic. The major micronutrients deficiencies, vitamin A, iron, zinc, and iodine. What we found that almost 21% in the preschool age children has a deficiency, 21% in the school age has a deficiency, and 38 of deficients who are living in slum. So there is a difference and variation based on the situation and school education. The prevalence of anemia in the preschool age children is 33%, and the zinc deficiency is 44% in the preschool age children. And how I solved that consumption of that, there's a very interesting intervention going on. Lack of iodine. Many people are suffering from different kind of diseases. So the iodine is being mixed with salt, and that is helping a lot. But sometimes the rural people buy salt in a cheaper rate. They don't have access to salt that is like an intervention in there. What do you think that girls need to continue their school of education? That is definitely a very, very important contribution and also investment on the girls and women. If they can look in, they will be getting more voice. They will be able to take a balanced or smart decision, which is healthy, which is not healthy. Definitely, educated mom will be taking care of the kids better than a less educated or uneducated mom. Another big current trend of government and non-government partnership should continue. That definitely will be making the sustainable platform, or at least make the momentum sustainable. That is a big part. What we conclude is a woman and child malnutrition varies by space, that is rural and urban. And empowered of women is complex, but we saw the urban-rural differences and also the socioeconomic status played a role. Community education, definitely an effective tool for better food habits and also change of lifestyle of these mothers. Nutrition active advocacy is an underserved community, definitely reduce disparities. It also improves nutritional situation and also health equity. So those findings definitely is not good for Bangladesh. Any country like Bangladesh will be benefited. So if we can invest our girls' population, women population, that has a huge outcome out of that kind of initiative. Thank you so much. If you have any question, I'm delighted to answer. Also, I can send some of the questions to my colleague, Dr. Nilofer.